Let me say it again. Every time you see something happen to your friend, your brother, your sister, you're either acting as an accuser or as an intercessor. You say, what if I don't say anything? The Bible says, he that is slack in his business is a brother to him that destroys. Are you getting my point? If you don't say anything, you are grouped as the people who are acting as what? Accusers. Who are accusers? Those who just point out what is wrong, but they say nothing to God concerning mercy for the person they are talking about. Many of us are guilty of this thing. That's why I read that thing David Paulson said, that this is a sin we commit. We hardly realize that we're actually committing these sins. Let me emphasize something. I am not at this point saying, go and take off the trouble of the whole world. Say, now, they have a new governor in Kwara State. Let me pray for him. If I ask you, what is the name of the governor-elect in Kwara State? You probably do not know if you are here with me. All right? So I am not saying that, that you will take off the trouble of everybody. Let me quickly say something again. Even though we explain the importance of this, this is not to bring anybody under condemnation. I need to emphasize that. It is not to bring anybody under condemnation. Now I start going around and say, hey, you know, I am a God. Who have I prayed for yesterday? Lord, I'm sorry, I've been sinning since yesterday. No, please, that's not the idea. Amen? Amen. Listen, our confidence is in Christ. Amen? Amen? Not in our works. We need to clarify that again. You are not going to say, now, because I have not prayed for people since yesterday, it's time to pray. I've spent the first few hours repenting and asking for forgiveness. I am not an apostle of teaching people how to walk in sin consciousness. When you approach God, let me say it again. It is not, Lord, you know I've been praying for all my friends since yesterday. So today is my turn. That's not what I'm teaching. I'm just needing these things to help us understand that we have, I like one thing David Paulson said there. He says it's not only a responsibility, but it's also what? A privilege. And I want us to focus on that privilege aspect. For us to know that it's a privilege. Like he said, you'll be amazed at the kind of joy you will feel when you hear that something you prayed about has been answered. I told you the story once of my friend who came to when we were in university and called some of us and told us the troubles in his family. And we joined hands and prayed for him in 15 minutes. Then he went home a few days later and all the troubles had died down. He returned to school and went and bought refreshments and gathered us again. All right, just three of us, him and two other guys, me and being one of the other two, gathered us again and said, time to eat. What happened? He said, that prayer we prayed, as soon as I go home, boom. And the other fellow is a comedian, you know. Said, Kai, it's good to pray for brethren, you know. So I remember once again, I felt very good about that. During the night, one of my friends called, maybe around 1 a.m. or 12 midnight or 2 a.m., so around one of those funny hours. I said, I should pray. What is the issue? That their son was gravely ill. So I prayed for him on the phone. And then after we hung up the phone, I couldn't sleep. The distress gripped me. And my wife remarked later that when you are praying for these people, the way you react, I don't see you pray like this often. And of course, I prayed, you know what I'm saying, from the bottom of my heart. The mother told me later that when they woke up in the morning, and the nurse, okay, let's go to hospital. The boy said himself, no, now, what are we going to hospital for? I'm fine. You know, and really they could see he was fine. His symptoms had died down. The boy was very, the boy said, but Pastor Banky has prayed for me. Where are we going again? Of course, they put the phone near him and he heard me pray over the phone. I felt glad. Do you understand? I felt very glad. I want us to look at it from that perspective. Next time you go home, you now realize that, this is my sister. You think you're tough. You think you're a bad girl. I will show you who's a bad person here. I'm bad. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I mean the American style now. That is with the power of God. So you think you're a bad girl, just watch me. And I'll cook you in prayer. You can't do any bad thing again. In fact, after a while, when you enter, you feel like the terror of the house. That is, yeah. Any troublemaker here? Show me somebody. Let me deal with the devil in his life. Do you get my point? That's the attitude I want us to have. Not, have I prayed for my sister today? No, I haven't. Hey, God, don't enjoy me yet. By evening, I will finish work. I will start. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about the privilege aspect, all right? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you and me free from the law of sin and death. You are not under condemnation just because you have not prayed for somebody. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? We need to emphasize that. We are just taking up the privilege that God has given us to be able to do things for Him on this earth. Now, back to what I was saying. I'm saying that this is a spiritual principle that when we focus on things like this, okay, I was not saying, explaining, I'm not trying to put a burden upon you and just be going on the road looking for who to pray for. God has already given them to you already. I need to emphasize that. What did I say? One, there are things we can easily tell each other. We know. You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a father, you have a mother, you have cousins that are close to you. All right? You belong to a family. Those are your number one prayer points. And let me say something. You should do targeted praying for them. Specifically, we already explained it. There are two things you pray for people. Yes, if they are unbelievers, they need to have the knowledge of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. They need to be born again. So we focus our prayers on that until it happens. If they are Christians, they need to walk in the light. And no matter how much light anybody has, he needs to walk in deeper amounts of light. And let me say it again. Don't assume somebody else will do the job. I said to us before, you know, I've been saying it again, I'm saying it about the 10th time again today. Okay, maybe not 10th, maybe about the 4th time. This is why we can't just go ahead bragging, I've done this. Because there are many things that we need to do. Now, what I'm going to emphasize, you'll be surprised that many things will never be done in the lives of people except we take up their matters up in prayer. It will be negligence on your part, okay, to just leave the thing undone. And you will not realize that you are responsible for what did not happen in that person's life. Even though every day you are saying, why is this man not walking in righteousness? God will say, because he doesn't have the light. And I had given to you the power to pray light into his life or her life. And you did not do that, all right, conscientiously. You did not do that with diligence. Okay? So that's why it's important. I want us to know it. It's not a long, in fact, this man made a statement. I don't want to give you the number so that you don't get hung up in number. He gave a quite small number that he recommends that people take up. And I said, ah, bros, this is a bit, in an African family, one family, if he plenty pass this number away. All right, so we are not saying that it's a whole load that one carries. But then, first of all, people who are directly connected with you and includes your friends. You know, I keep on saying that. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. For us in Christianity, it's not, and when we say friends now, there are, again, two kinds of friends. There are people that God just said, all right, you're together in secondary school, we're very close those days. It's you that still, you remember them and you remember them with love and affection and, you know, and closeness, and they don't know Christ yet. You remember them, that's part of it. And then you go to church, you're in fellowships. For me, that's been very tremendous. I have very close friends that, you know about my alumni fellowship. We have had the alumni fellowship was formally inaugurated. We've had the 26th meeting, annual meeting, this year. That's the one that we went for about 2 weeks ago. 26th. I joined about 2 years after I started because the earlier days I was a student. But I've attended everyone. There are people there that are my dear ones. The people I gave the example earlier that called me, they are one of those people. All right, these are the kinds of people that you pray for. Bear those things, that list in mind. Then again, the Holy Spirit operates, all right, periodically and brings people up to your heart. And I want to say this categorically. If the Lord brings, if a thought comes to your mind about somebody again and again, maybe over the last, in recent times, maybe like over the last few days, you're always remembering somebody. I think, this is my own, all right, interpretation of it. What the Holy Spirit is saying is pray for this individual. Pray. It's important. Don't let things like that just fly away. It's a dear one. I don't mean just remember Papa Jasko, you know. That's not what I mean. I used to like watching him on television. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about maybe those days, someone like me, maybe those days were university. I had this brother in fellowship. I just said, I've not heard from this guy in a long time. Nothing. I just, you know, names can fly into your head like that anytime. That's not what I'm talking about. The next day, you remember him again. After a while, it appears as this man just stays on your mind. It could be, from stories I've heard, he might be critically ill at that time. And you are the only person that God can find that will say a word for him. His life may be in danger. It may be that, because I said to you, there are spiritual orders in life. Somebody can set things in motion that's going to kill him, literally die, on a particular date. And that date is approaching. And God says that doesn't have to happen. we can reverse this thing. All right? I remember the story I read about Kenneth Hagin's wife. All right? He said since he married her, something in him just told him, this girl is going to die early. He just knew that this woman won't live long. That the feeling was so strong that because he's a prophet and he used to have a lot of spiritual operations when he's preaching, all right? He said that there are times he goes into the realm of the spirit, a thought comes to him, so he quickly runs away. Maybe like now, he's preaching now. And then you know when your gift's about to start flowing. So the gifts wants to start flowing. God wants to start giving him words of knowledge, words of wisdom, visions and revelations. But that is tapping, taking him over into a spiritual atmosphere. At that point, the thought becomes stronger in him. He runs away. So that hinders his ministry. So he will just teach and preach and walk away. Meanwhile, he could have blessed people with serious revelations that God would give him at that moment. So one day he had a vision. That's what I'm talking about, that somebody, your prayer can turn things around. One day he had a vision. The Lord appeared to him, and he said something to the Lord that, I've always had this feeling that my wife won't live long. He never gave an explanation. In fact, some of these things is as you study, you now begin to connect some of those stories. And as a matter of fact, she was going to die early. Said the Lord to him, yes, that is true. She was going to die early. And the Lord said something like, there's some words he used. Let me not use those words so as not to confuse people. As if it's been determined she will die early. What determines it, please? I'm not discussing it at all. But there are many factors. Many of which will include her as a person. But he now said he now began to pray for her. And he said, the Lord, please, I don't want her to die. Why? He said, one, I like her. She's been a very nice person to me. A good mother to the children. And that, you know, somebody's working with you. That was the only job he did. That was the only job she did. She was a full-time wife to him. Nothing else did she ever do all the days of her life. All right? Just being a wife to this man and raising the children. So she was essentially, now she was a co-worker with him in ministry, which means that he was the one that trained her. All right? She was a young lady, maybe about 2019 or so when they got married. She was living with her father. He was a preacher that came to town. Maybe everything she knew about ministry, he taught her. So he said to the Lord, if she goes, I'm going to remarry, most certainly. He said, but then I will have to start again. He said, again, that is not good for my ministry. So the Lord said, what do you want? I don't want her to die. I want her to live. The woman outlived him by like 3 or 4 years. And he died at the age of 88. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, the Lord said to him at that moment, no problem. She will live. She will not die. He said, do you know why? Just because you asked me. Those were the words. Just because you asked me. You know, once, you know, before I got married, one day I was reading. And the Bible said concerning Isaac, that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake, and she conceived. After they had been married for 20 years. And look, I've had every kind of medical explanation. But one day, the Bible says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. And that year, she conceived and bore those two children that we now know about. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean, all right? So it's possible somebody comes to your mind like that. That's how I'm saying the story of Kenneth Hagin's wife, all right? He said that, and the Lord said to him simply, because you asked, then she was not going to die. And by that time, she was already having serious problems. She had a goiter that was choking her to death. They told her, let's go to hospital and get the operator. She refused. Why? She was certain she wouldn't come back alive. And one day, he had a vision, and the Lord just said to her, tell your wife to go to the hospital and get operated on. She would not die. That's what I mean. I've heard stories again and again. Of which, in fact, there's one Lee Stone King, the one I was telling you about, I think the other time. When I went to his website and read the whole story, he was dead for 40 minutes thereabout. And he rose up again from the dead, not because the Lord wanted to play with him for 40 minutes. This is not Lazarus and Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? It was because people began to pray. People began to make petitions to the Lord for him. That's what I mean by something comes to your mind. All right? It is possible that what is happening, that God said, this guy is having problems right now. or is going to have problems later. So it brings him up, brings her up in your heart and say, you have understanding. You have some faith. And what do I say? It is simple. The words don't have to be, look, like to the story of a man. I just said the Lord simply, listen, no, this young woman, if you take him away, if you take her away, I'm going to miss her terribly. I don't know, it's not going to be for my ministry. What do you want? I just want her to live and not die. Because he asked. And that was exactly what God told Moses in Numbers chapter 14. Because you asked, I will pardon according to your word. Having a relationship with God, righteousness in Christ Jesus is not for your own sake alone. It is so that your words can have weight in God's presence. People have predicted all kinds of things about Nigeria. And we always say the opposite. Why? Because we simply kneel down and say to the Lord, here, do not let this happen. And God pardons according to our words. I've said it again and again. What's most important in prayer is not the kind of big English you speak. It is who is speaking the big English. Do you understand my point? It's not that you go and cram one big man's prayer using words that cause confusion both to your soul and to the angels who are around. He's praying in King James English. As if he's speaking. God must be laughing sometimes. Say, what's going on? Say, that joker is praying. He's speaking a language that you don't speak normally. English you don't speak. You come home and meet your wife. O thou fairest amongst women. Thou that sitteth on the right side of my dining table. Canst thou think about purchasing some give me English for food. for thine husband for tonight. The woman go look and say, sweetheart, are you okay? Do you have a fever? You get home, say, please, I'm hungry. Anything to eat? Is that not why you say it? Why do you think you have to say it differently when it's time to eat, to pray? Just tell the Lord simply, please, my sister is critically ill. Heal her, I pray you, in Jesus' name. Huh? We don't like it, though. See, it's too simple. So let's fast first. Say, let's fast first. If that fasting is going to make God listen. So you'll just die before you finish counting enough hours of your fast. One day I was praying for one lady on campus. We went to visit one particular, some sisters. So she now said, please, thank you. My foot is aching. Do you mind praying? I've been a man of God for a long time. You know what I'm saying? She was a friend. So I said, all right, where is it? I just said a very simple prayer in the name of Jesus. Like 10 seconds. I said, amen. So she looked at me. Said that prayer was too short. I wonder whether I went beyond the roof. Said, it's not your fault. That's why I didn't go beyond the roof. You are getting what I say? We think the words must be plenty. One of my friends told me, he lives in North America. He said once he wanted his mother to visit, and they had tried and tried and tried, and the visa did not appear. So one day he downloaded Anatomy of Prayer. And I think, I don't know which of the prayers, but I talked about sincerity, simplicity, just praying for that from the heart. He said he just sat on the, I think on the staircase or the floor somewhere in his heart, in his house, and leaned against the wall. Did not speak one tongue, did not groan one groan, did not sigh one sigh. He just said, Lord, grant my mother a visa. I want her to visit. Next time she went to the embassy, they gave her the visa. Tam. He said, he listened to that series, Anatomy of Prayer. That all he just did was, he just sat down. There was no, Galagava, do now, we begin to worship you. Approach your most holy throne. As we approach unto the, how do you approach again? Gates with thanksgiving, and their courts with praise. In our hearts, we begin, God said, Gabriel, what's going on there? He said, thou knowest, Lord. I thought that boy just wants to ask for 5,200 naira. Gabriel said, well, that's what we overheard when he was discussing with his friend. He said, so what's all of this entering our gates in thanksgiving and our courts with praise? What is it about? And then he says that, Lord, he believes he wouldn't hear unless he psychs you up first. We actually preach it as Christians. We don't know that as preachers. Say, what the first do? Ha. You know, in fact, I was somewhere, someone was preaching. Say, you can imagine when somebody begins to praise you, you start praising like this. Say, you know, you're just getting excited. You start dashing them money. I say, you think God is Chris? You think God is a politician? See, that's not God. God gets bored. Just like this. Gabriel, when they get to request time, call me. Say, this praise is not honest. This worship, not acceptable. This one that we have to use to warm the gates of heaven. Because I don't want it. And like I keep on saying, if my son enters, knocks on the door, I mean, I love my victory for that. As soon as victory knocks on the door, who is that? It's me, victory. Come in. Daddy, you know you're a good daddy. So, thank you. Since I've been moving around this neighborhood, I've never seen a daddy like you. You know, I start getting concerned. In fact, when you are driving, when we're driving us to school, my heart rejoices that you are the daddy. The correct daddy. The ultimate daddy. There is no daddy but you. You know, I'll be looking like, what's going on here? You know, after I said, Victor, what's going on? So that I was wondering whether we could take the biscuits that are inside the study. You're going to get angry. Say, what's all of this nonsense? Well, I love the confidence of children. They don't do that. They just knock. Daddy, I think I'm hungry. I saw biscuit on the dining. They said it's yours. Can I have it? That's how victory will say it. Can I have some? That's the beginning of the request and the end of it. There's no praising me. Nothing. Can I have some? I just said, go and take. Thank you. That's it. That the thank you is that brief. Thank you. And it's not like he's not grateful. It's confidence. Do you understand what I'm going to say? All that long talk is when you are not familiar. Look, listen, praise for us Christians is a habit. It's a habit. And listen, actually, when you praise God, you are magnifying him to yourself. People say it's the food of God. God says, if I were hungry, if it was a matter of food, I wouldn't tell you. So for him to tell you to praise him is for your own good, not for his own good. Am I saying you shouldn't praise God? How can I say that? But it's a habit. It's not a way by which you warm yourself to his heart so he can give you something. It does not make him... The only thing praise does at such moments is to give you confidence. That's all. It's like the children are downstairs. We are hungry. Let's go and ask mommy. She will have something for us. That's called praise. I don't know what I heard what I said. Children gather, they've been praying, they say, we are hungry. Somebody says, let us go and ask mommy. She will have something. That is, this is the mommy that always has something. That is what is called praise. So he comes upstairs and says, mommy, we are hungry. I'm sure there's something. That's called praise. Are you getting my point? That I know there's something. Are you not the mommy? You are the mommy. There must be something. The way we treat God, honestly, I'll be honest with you, he doesn't like it. Look, I'm speaking for him. He doesn't like it. The praise is only when they need something. They come for prayer. What do you want to pray about? Our brother is sick, he's in hospital. What do you say? Okay. Who will raise song? This is the day that the Lord... Brother is sick in hospital. What has that got to do with this song you are singing? We don't have enough confidence to just join hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because the healing power is with us. Now we ask, no. You know when Jesus was praying for concerning Lazarus? He said, this long talk is because I want them to learn something. Otherwise, I don't talk this length on things like this. Are you getting my point? I just feel like if you take a minute or two to explain it again. Praise is a habit. It's actually magnifying God to yourself all the time. That is, let me tell you how, when praise is most powerful, I'll tell you. You hear that, you know, I was talking about the slide of the naira against the dollar, all right, some time ago. You hear that, oh, naira has gone down from 160 to 220 in just a few months. And if about 3 months, there about 4 months. Somebody said that, hey, what is going to happen? You say, is dollar God? Do you hear what I say? Just say, is dollar God? Listen, God is able to make all grace abound towards us so that we have all sufficiency in all things and have a super abundance for every good work. God is able. That response to a situation is called praise. Did you hear what I said? That response to a situation, that is the heart of praise. That is the heart of praise. He said, how much is it going to cost? Said, 500,000 there. We had a budget for 150. What are we going to do? God is our supplier. The money will come. That is praise. Do you get my point? That is what is called praise. A lot of the ones we do before we make requests, I'm not saying it's terribly bad, but he doesn't enjoy it. That one is just for yourself, to psych yourself, to boost your faith. That's what it is for. When we are talking about real praise, it's a habit. You wake up in the morning, Father, I thank you. The reason why I've woken up this morning is because of you. I want to acknowledge you again today that you indeed are the God of my life. Period. Listen, people don't know when they take praise away from God and they put it somewhere else. Put the name of God, break the third commandment. They put the name of the Lord on what? A vain thing. When they speak about all kinds of, you know, because life is always speaking. Ebola is coming to Nigeria. What are we going to do? Our health sector is bad. Everybody's just going to die. Can you see? They've put the power of life and death on the health sector. Oh, I like the Ebola experience in Nigeria. We are sorry for the people that died. But generally, that experience was good for us in Nigeria. Nigerian Christians, Lord, thank you for them. You know what God helped them to realize? All of us, me and you, all of us put together. They said, to whom shall we go? Do you understand my point? If they had said meningitis, everybody would have rushed to primary health care to go and collect vaccine. But this one, there's no known vaccine. At that time, no effective vaccine had been tried. No known treatment. No cure. Nothing. And that thing spreads. It's so contagious. People will go for a funeral where somebody who died from Ebola died. A few people will catch. They go home, give to the whole household. And we heard all this news. People now said, They realize that God, thou art God. And they cried upon the name of the Lord who was able to save. And he saved. And the world started telling lies again. Oh God, they can't help but tell lies. What was the lie they told? He said, Nigeria, because of his intact health infrastructure, because he did. I said, this is Nigeria. Because that was the only explanation they could come to. They say why it's ravaging Liberia and Sierra Leone is because there's been war, the infrastructure is bad, they are understaffed. You know, these were the very same things they said about us before. That we didn't have power, we have only one doctor for every maybe 50,000 people or even more than that. You know, they've said everything. But then when God helped us empower the Lagos State government, all right, and before we know, tap sharp, things worked out, we contained the thing rapidly. After a few weeks, WHO said, Nigeria is now Ebola-free. What is the story? The story is that, you know, they have a good health structure. They have a lot of doctors who are well-trained. They have hospitals that are well-positioned. Every local government has a health council, and every council has a head, and their local... I said, this same country. They will always find an explanation for the good that God has done in your life. But the fact is that at that point, we lifted up the name of the Lord. And he fought with us against that affliction and drove that spirit back to where it came from. If you read the stories of John G. Lake, a man that blessed me tremendously, read books like Adventures in God, you know that those things are spirits. There was a time he and some of his South African co-workers, plague attacked the neighborhood. That's the community. Men went to the mountain to go and pray. One was there, fasting and praying. You know, just staying there, praying. So John J. Lake would go to go and give the man food. Because that one didn't come down, saying, I'm not coming down until this plague is over. He was praying. So he would go. He used to help take care of the sick and all of that. Then go and meet the man, bring him food and stuff. So one of those days, he got there to give the guy some food and stuff. Asked the man, how's it going? The man said, he hasn't broken through yet, but he feels that if he gets a bit of help, he'll be able to break through into this thing. So John Lake said, no problem, drop the food, let us pray. So two of them began to pray. As soon as they started praying, boom, both of them had a vision at the same time. They just looked into the realm of the spirit. They just saw the demons. They were like a flock of goats. And they just, this is the spirit of death. So two of them physically began to run after them. Okay, these things are happening in the realm of the spirit. Run out of here in the name of Jesus. We cast you. All the, you know, the locusts, you know what I mean, just gathered and disappeared. Ran away from that area. The next day, the plague began to end. It took, of course, it took a few days for the whole thing to come to an end. But suddenly, all the controls suddenly started working. The spread stopped. New cases stopped developing. Because men went somewhere and they went to pray. Listen, we discussed what some of our previous messages on our school of prayer. We talked about what praise is. I described it. Praises are such times you give the glory to God. You go to work, hey, I have not paid salaries. So say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what is called praise. Praise is not when they say, let us sing to God. Listen, please, don't get me wrong. I am not saying that when you sing, it is not praise. But the one that you do because you want to make requests is not good. That's the one I'm saying is not good. You want to make your request, make your request flat. Go, make your request. Give thanks and walk away from there. But what is praise? It's a habit. It's the way you respond to every situation. You get to work, they haven't paid salaries, they haven't. Children are resuming school in 2 weeks' time. People gather, what shall we do? I don't know, this boss is useless. He does not have any feeling for the poor. You just described yourself. You just described yourself. Tomorrow you go and say, what's that song? I'm above alone, I'm not beneath. God said, where was I yesterday when you were saying you were the poor? There are words you've never heard from my mouth all my life. Say, we the masses, me. There are things I will say, God will put me out of ministry. Say, this boy, go and sit down. I say, we the masses. Who's masses? You know what's called a mass? Nebulous human beings, none of them distinct. Me? Masses? God forbid, but any mass in the house? Thank you. I'm a child of God. The demons know my name. They are human friends, they know my name. If you go and pray, I pray in the name of Jesus, whom Banky preaches, they will say to you, Banky we know. They know my name. How can I be masses? It's all the sons of Sceva that are masses. Because the demons, they say, who are you? You know, the demons didn't know who they were. The demons didn't even know their name. They say, who are you people? Introduce yourself. That's statements I don't make. I mean masses. So you don't go to the office, you're not beside and say, this man does not, he doesn't even have mercy on the poor, and you're talking about yourself. First thing just say that, well, we thank God, he's not our God. He's not the supplier. God is the supplier. The number one reason why we work here is because we want to be productive, we want to be a blessing. The money is the second reason. And God is always the supplier. If salaries don't come, children will still go to school in 2 weeks' time and we will not lack. That is what is called praise. You have given the glory to whom it is due. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I've ended the message as the time has ended. All right, let me just conclude at this point. What was I saying? So you find out that it is when we focus. Now, I told the story that Pastor Ifeobuki told during WAFBEC that he and his wife, they were believing God to have children for a number of years. She finally had the children in her fifth year after marriage. He said, at the particular point in time, of course, all kinds of thoughts had gone through his head. He's a medical doctor. For those of you who don't know, if you listen to the messages, actually, it was my senior in university. All right? So all the medical thoughts would have gone through his head. But they just kept on holding to the word of God. They got to a particular point in time. The wife said, it is enough. God has answered us. Now, the only job I have to do now is to start praying for other people. So she started identifying people that had similar problems, started praying about it, forgetting herself entirely. told the story in Waffbeck. And with that, God broke through upon them. And the floodgates opened. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? Because she said she took the attention away from herself. Many problems we have in life is because we are too focused on ourselves. We are too focused. You are not the only thing happening in this life. Take time out and pray for somebody. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to teach today. He said, "What when did God turn around the captivity of Job?" He said it was when he prayed for his friends. When he took the attention away from his own troubles and focused the attention, okay, on other people's calamities. The fact that divine judgment was about to come upon them and somebody had to stand up and stay the hand of judgment. And Job stood in that position, then his own captivity was turned. I think one of the tragedies of today's Christianity is we have taken the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and we have thrown those words away. When he said, "Do not take any thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewith you shall be clothed." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "After these things the Gentiles seek." But what do we do a lot of times in today's Christianity? We gather and say, "Today we will worry about our lives." And you will bring a special seed to collect all the worry and continue the worry. And people gather morning, afternoon, night. Today, you will say to God, like somebody showed a sticker, "This year, they will not get me." Can you be this? I can show you a real sticker. One of our brothers photographed it where cars were parked. "This year, 2015, they will not get me." So the brethren asked, "What about next year?" We are so focused on ourselves. When Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." What's my message today? Let's join the Lord in blessing people that we love. Are you getting my point? Remember the assignment? We're going to close now. We won't pray much now. But please, this evening, maybe you should do a small assignment. Do a small roster. You will write a short list of about 7 names of people that you love, you know? And then take them one by one each day of the week. Let me just bless this person today. This one is not a believer. I know what to pray for him. This one is a Christian. But at their church, you know what to pray about. This one, they say poverty is a sign of holiness. No, that's not what the word of God says. Let me pray for him that he will understand something. Really. You know, I don't let me start preaching. Okay, I'll continue next time. I'm talking about where we're supposed to continue from. But you see, arguing with Christians a lot of times. If it's people you love, you don't need arguments. You don't win the argument. Only God can reveal. If you talk to somebody, they are not getting the point. And you are aware from the scriptures, these things are correct. It's blessing you already. It's not argument, though. Before you hand the fellow a book, pray the fellow a book first. Are you getting my point? Pray, say, "Lord, this my brother, this my friend needs to know this truth." Listen, you know many of us, I don't want to use the word guilty, all right? Many of us have been very negligent, and therefore we have denied other people blessings. I believe this season, grace is coming into our family. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
You are about to reconnect with your friends that you have forgotten.
Amen.
Because one of the things that separated is because you had faith they did not have. And you are feeling sorry and angry, you know, with them. Because it's now you're about to get your friends back. Did you hear what I said? Give me an amen.
Amen.
You are getting your friends back. You are getting your brother back.
Amen.
You are getting your sister back.
Amen.
You are getting your father back.
Amen.
Your mother is returning to you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's begin to give the Lord thanks for today. Say, "Lord, thank you. Your word is good." Say, "Lord, thank you." Let's rise to our feet quickly.